Greetings and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. Maybe you didn't know you have your own radio show. This is it. You are the ones who drive the show with your wisdom, your insights, your edification of others, your lived experiences. Yes, we're already into the second month of 2023, and this is the first Friday of the month, so we have our True Presence show. Debbie, looking forward to that.
The real presence of Jesus in the most holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, it is the source and summit of our faith, and this is the first Friday of the month, and it really we really depend on you to show up strong and share your love for the Eucharist, your understanding, your experience, how you communicate to others what we believe, all sorts of things. So we cover this from every different angle because we want to walk away a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God. And we can't walk away, Jerry, and get started with our weekend yet until we fill all the phone lines and we make this a very wonderful discussion about the Most Holy Eucharist.
Well, there's very little more important that we could talk about than the source and summit of our faith as Catholic Christians. And even if you're not Catholic, we love your listenership and you're welcome to call in. Maybe you even have a question about why the church believes what she does about the Eucharist, who it is. It's Jesus Christ, as Debbie said, a body, blood, soul, and divinity. So feel free to call in and ask your questions if you're curious about it, or maybe you think that the Catholic Church is wrong about it. We could talk about that. But especially, we want to hear your takes on how the Eucharist has impacted your life. Maybe you've been to one of the exhibits, for example, the Blessed Carlo Acutis exhibit on Eucharistic miracles. We can talk about that, how you prepare for Holy Communion, how you give thanks afterward. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
So I know that a lot of lay leaders in the church are really involved in the Eucharistic revival, and they're getting it out there in the parishes, and there's different programs coming up and different presentations. It's really quite wonderful that we are all embarking on this great getting recatechized on what we believe as Catholic Christians. But let's face it, folks, you know, so many of us were born into this faith, right? And we're cradle Catholics, and we've had the Eucharist around us since we received our first Holy Communion. And it's interesting how maybe our feelings have changed about the Eucharist, a better understanding, an increase in the depth of spirituality. Let's talk about this. Or maybe you're one of the folks that you don't really know how to really bring in the Eucharist in your faith life. Please call this number. If you're not Catholic, call in as well. We'd love to chat with you. 833-288-3986.
Now, other ways you can participate in the conversation, not just today, but anytime. Email is open 24/7 at take2@ewtn.com. If you're one of the many watching the video streams on YouTube or Facebook, we're waving at you. Hello there. You can post your comments. Our social media manager, Jeff Burson, will get some of those over to us. You can post on the show website, take2show.com. So a lot of ways for you to get in on the discussion, but we also really especially love to hear your beautiful voices. So you can start with one of those open phone lines right now at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Matt Kubinski already answering calls right now, but still a couple of phone lines are remaining open at this moment in time as we talk about on this first Friday the true presence, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, I've said this many times on the show, if God forbid there were ever any major changes with the teaching on the Eucharist, I would be the first one out the door. I have to be honest with you, because I am completely 100% about the Eucharist. I've done a lot of study on it with religious education, and I'm a firm believer in the reality of the Most Holy Eucharist. And I will tell you, I've had a very personal, very private, mystical experience with the Eucharist many years ago. And so for me, I just know it to be true that he is present. truly present in the Eucharist. And so I hope and pray everything stays the same as the teaching of the Catholic Church, because I would never want that to change or be adjusted even a tiny little bit. But there are people out there that they doubt, they don't understand, they don't think it's necessary as much. And I'll tell you, that's, to me, that's really where I think we all failed as religious educators, you know, to really communicate, like we said at the beginning of the show, the source and summit of our faith, the Eucharist. What do you think about that? Do you feel the same? Do you feel, I know you feel as passionate about the Eucharist as I do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We can, of course, be assured that it will not change. The Church's teaching on the Eucharist will not change, but I'm with you. It is the central focus of our lives and our beliefs as Catholic Christians. I just received the communion, the Holy Eucharist, I would say about 36 minutes ago, and that we had the first Friday Mass at our parish. We're going to do overnight, 24-hour exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Maybe you are part of a parish or a chapel near you that has Eucharistic adoration. Call and share how much that means to you. You know, the more that we share about our love for the Eucharist, Debbie, there are absolutely, without question, people listening right now who are in that position that you talked about. Maybe don't fully appreciate what the Eucharist is, who the Eucharist is. Maybe their faith has wavered a little bit in this. So your Take Two family, by calling in and sharing, you're going to be perhaps, you know, just revolutionizing somebody's life and bringing them back to a fervent love of the Blessed Sacrament.
I totally agree. So we need to fill up those last remaining open phone lines at 833-288-3986. I said it slowly because everybody says, you know, slow down so I can call the number 833-288-3986. Jerry, did you share that Matt Gabinski's answering calls? Did you share that?
I did, yeah.
Good, because he's wonderful. Everybody loves talking to him.
Yeah, Matt Gabinski on the calls and Jeff Burson on social media. Ace McKay is our producer. So we have a show team that puts this together every day. And you're part of it, Take Two family. You're the key part of the show. With your phone calls, your takes, talking about the true presence, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We started this last year on the first Fridays, and you guys loved it so much, we're doing it again this year on every first Friday. 833-288-3986.
We're talking about the real presence today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We expect you to call in and share your experience of the Eucharist on this wonderful first Friday of February. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. Before we get to Jesse in San Antonio, Texas, I wanted to share, because today's the Feast of St. Blaise. In fact, right after the show, my husband and I are racing to Mass because they're going to have the blessing of the throats. And boy, oh boy, do I need St. Blaise to step in, because my throat has been bugging me for almost 6 weeks. So, sterling silver St. Blaise pendant with chain. Today is the Feast of St. Blaise, the patron saint of those with throat ailments. This is a lovely medal and a way to keep St. Blaise close to you at all times. It's sterling silver and comes with a 24-inch chain. This item can be personalized. Oh, I like that part. Visit EWTNRC.com for details. Available now, right now online at EWTNRC.com. Free standard shipping, online orders of $75 or more. That's for the continental U.S. only. Use code FREE at checkout. See, we promote these wonderful items, but at the same time Jerry and I are promoting them, we're making notes to ourselves of these are the things we need to get. Right, Jerry?
Absolutely. All right, we got one line open just for you, talking about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Any angle you want to take on this beautiful topic, 833-288-3986. As Debbie promised, we're going to go to Jesse first in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Jesse.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thanks. I just wanted to say some words I say to myself at the consecration, because the priest told me I shouldn't say it out loud because it disturbs other people. Anyway, the words of Jesus from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? that refers to Psalm 22. I understand that's what rabbis used to say, the first line of a psalm to refer to them. After reading Psalm 22, well, the whole thing, but specifically around verse 25, 26, I came up with the words that I say to myself all the time, which right at the consecration when the priest holds the host up, the bells are ringing, I say, a vow, a promise, the reality of fulfillment made present. That's what happened at the Last Supper. That's what happens at every Mass. Mm-hmm. And when the priest bows before behind the altar, I say, my Lord and my God.
Well, you know, Jesse, you and I are alike, and I'm sure there are a lot of other people who do similar things. It's interesting, you mentioned Psalm 22. I grabbed my Bible, and I opened it, and you know where I opened it? Exactly to Psalm 22. So that is a confirmation of what you're talking about. And you're right, the psalm starts out in a kind of a dark and dreary way. You know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But it goes on to talk about, it's a really triumphant psalm as it goes on toward the end. But everything has to be taken in its proper context. So, and I love how you speak to the Lord. You get very personal when you're receiving the Eucharist. When my priest consecrates each of the two elements, the bread and the wine, into the body and blood of Christ, I say under my breath too, my Lord and my God as well. And actually some people in my parish do it audibly too, but I don't know, Debbie, I think it's just to be able to have that relationship with God where you see Christ being, you know, consecrated on the Eucharist and you're just talking to him, whether it's in your heart, mm-hmm. in your mind mm-hmm. or what, I think it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree. What I picked up on, Jesse, is how focused you are. And to me, that is key. As in religious education, we used to always tell everyone that from the children all the way up to the adults in their 80s for adult faith formation, to really put that effort, that mental effort into connection with God. And you are so focused. We did a survey one time many years ago where we asked folks to be honest about how much you daydream during Mass and how your mind wanders to, like, where you're going to go out to eat after Mass, or, you know, what store you're going to go to. And people were really honest. And it's unfortunate, because if we could just take that time, that really concentrated, intentional time, to be one-on-one with our Lord, the I believe the effects are life-changing. They're spiritually life-changing. Would you agree with that, Jesse?
Yes, and I think one of the things that would help is, let me turn off the radio. One of the things that would help, my belief, is for people to say that audibly as part of the Mass. I think that would inspire their faith if they say, a vow, a promise, the reality of fulfillment made present. That brings it to their lips and to their mind, to their heart, so more people would believe in the real presence.
Without a doubt. Again, it's how we approach the Eucharist in preparation. It's how we give thanks afterward. It's how we live our lives. Because what do we say at the end of Mass? You know, the Mass is ended. Go and glorify God with your lives, or something like that. So our whole existence, Jesse, needs to take the Eucharist and go out from there and be Christ to other people. So thank you, brother. God bless. Great phone call to get us started.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, Jesse. Thank you. Okay, Jesse just freed up a line. Hurry, hurry to the phones. Let's go, guys. Don't get started with your weekend yet. People are listening. We've got to do our part. 833-288-3986. You can tell that my RE hat just went on.
I thought it was always on.
Religious education. Sometimes I go in and out of it, you know, because I want to really, you know, look at it from different angles. And that's what we do here on Take Two, is we look at things from different angles.
We're going to stay in Texas. Bob is in Houston, listening also on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
One of the most encouraging things I've heard about the Eucharist. I heard it just a day or two ago. I was on YouTube, and this Jewish fellow, he had done really well. By the time he was 29, he was a professor at Harvard Business School. I think he especially in marketing. And anyway, he died, and he started in the afterlife thing, and he met the Virgin Mary, Blessed Virgin Mary, and he had such a profound experience with her. But she told him, "You're going to have to go back. This is really not your time." And so he came back to Earth, and he became a Catholic. He is a solid Catholic, and of course, it cost him some problems in his family. They have a hard time accepting him now, but that doesn't make any difference. He's rock solid, and he said this was just absolutely profound. He said that this happened in 1992, and he said since then he's only missed the Eucharist 6 days. Mm-hmm. That is just incredible, in my opinion. I mean, that is just a profound statement on how valuable the Eucharist is. I just wanted to contribute that.
Yeah, sure. No, it's absolutely beautiful. The whole story is beautiful. Because Mary is our Jewish mother, and we all, we're all children of Abraham in a spiritual sense. So I think it's really beautiful. I think of, Rosalind Moss, who's now Mother Miriam of the Lamb of God. I think of Roy Shoman. So many converts from Judaism to Catholicism. And, the beautiful thing about it is we don't necessarily abandon what the Jews believed. It's kind of the fulfillment, if you will. There's so many things of our faith that are foreshadowed in the Old Testament, Debbie, and in Judaism. So this is a great story.
A lot of our mass parts is from they're from the Jewish temple services, so you're spot on with the prayers and absolutely. I just wanted to share this, Bob, what you were talking about. I just shared this with someone recently about this idea that everyone's on their own spiritual path and pace. Right. And we're not really to compare our, what another person is doing, because everybody's, a very individual. It's personal. It's in the right timing. The Lord knows us the best. He knows every hair on our head. But let's face it, there are people who are spiritually advanced. I'll give you an example. Padre Pio. Okay, Padre Pio was spiritually advanced. He worked at his and lived his faith as a small child. So when you talk about this man receiving the Eucharist on a daily basis since 1992, only missing 6 times, I have to tell you, being in religious education for over 30 years, the daily mass goers, they had a different level, a different depth of spirituality. It was very obvious. We could see it. We knew it. And so I think that when we invest ourselves, when we take that time, when we want to connect with the Lord on a daily basis through the Eucharist, it is going to produce spiritual maturity. That's what I feel. I've seen it in religious education. What are your thoughts, Bob?
Well, I think that's right. I can really see it over a period of time. On a day-to-day basis, sometimes it's hard to see it, but over a period of time, I can really see what makes a difference. And I'll add one more thing about this guy. Not only does he face a lot of ostracism from his Jewish family and friends, but also there in Harvard. Harvard is, when you get that high up into the educational system, a lot of those people are atheists, and they're certainly anti-Christian. But he's got all these anti-Christian people around him, it does not faze him. He is rock solid Christian, mm-hmm. and I was really mm-hmm. impressed by that too. But mm-hmm. yeah, you're right. Going over a period of time, mm-hmm. it makes it easier for me to see though how valuable it is.
Sure. Well, and it gives you the strength, you know. Jesus gives us the strength to get through anything. The more we connect with him, the more we stay connected. You know, the parable, the vine and the branches. The more we stay connected, we can get through anything in this world. I totally agree. And just one other real quick point, Bob. Some of my extended family from my children's family, they're Jewish. And I will tell you that, yes, they have to maintain their Judaism. They want to maintain their heritage, their culture. Okay, I understand that. But I will tell you, it has been my experience, because I've been to many temple services, they're very intrigued, very interested in Christianity. So they may be pushing and resisting, but they're also very curious. And that's a good place to be, because you want them curious if they want to explore it later in life. So, Bob, thank you so much for that wonderful story. What do you think, Jer?
Yeah, great call. Great call. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Bob. Have a blessed weekend there in Houston. 833-288-3986. First Friday of the month, talking about the true presence, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. John is next in New Iberia, Louisiana, listening on Christ the King Radio. Hi, John.
Yo.
How
are
actually, you doing?
Actually, I've called once before. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a Divine Mercy experience in Little Kaya, Louisiana, which is a little chapel south of Houma, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I passed by there, and I heard an interior voice say, well, are you going to stop? And, and I looked around to be sure nobody else was in the car with me that I didn't know about. So I went to my other stop that I had to be at a certain time, and I came back, and I walked in that little chapel. There was someone waiting at the door when I got there, and she opened it. It was all locked, but she opened the door for me when I knocked, and there was a peace that came over me that I can't hardly explain to someone, and I knew right at that point that he was going to take care of everything. Everything, and he has ever since. And I can't imagine having a church without the Eucharist. I really can't.
Right. Neither can we, John. Neither can we. And, you know, we get these promptings of the Holy Spirit. Certainly guardian angels are a part of these promptings that we get as well. And that is just a neat story, especially because I think you said the place was locked, but there was someone there to let you in. And I love the peace that came over you and the way you shared that, because Debbie and I are big on what is called the Surrender Novena. That's from Father Delindo Rutolo. People should look it up, Surrender Novena. And part of that novena is saying many, many times over, Jesus, you take care of everything. And Debbie, that's the posture we have to have, is kind of a free fall into our Lord's hands.
Mm-hmm. Every day, free fall into our Lord's arms. Absolutely. John, you were very blessed. You had that beautiful personal encounter that gave you the encouragement to go in, and then the confidence to come out and feel that Jesus has everything covered. I love that. And you're sharing it with all of us today, but when you reflect on it, do you feel like you're right back there at the chapel?
Sometimes I feel like that, but then sometimes I say, wow, Jesus, why are you picking on me? Because it turns out I ended up with some other people. We ended up opening a pregnancy center in New Iberia, and it's really been a blessing, and things have fallen into place that I never envisioned.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, he's not picking on you. Phenomenal. He picked you.
Oh, I know he did. It's kind of very humbling, extremely humbling.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Well, John, you opened yourself up to do the work of God. He's looking for willing souls just like you. And so we all need to be aware of God wanting to use us for his purposes. 833-288-3986. John, have a great weekend. Thanks for the call.
This is our Real Presence show for February. We expect you to join us. You still have plenty of time. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. 3986, and we'll get back to the phones. Jerry, we also have YouTube and Facebook coming in. We're waving to you right now, you guys. I'm waving to you right now. There you go. Michael J. says, when I was Protestant, it was coming to the knowledge of the real presence in the Eucharist that made me realize I had to switch teams. Thank you, Michael J. Okay.
Okay, let's go back to our calls, a lot of them, but a couple, two lines open. If you want to be a part of this conversation, a beautiful thing to discuss, sublime reality, the Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus, 833-288-3986. Renee, hang on in Buffalo. You're right after Heather, who called just seconds before you did, in Freehold, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Heather.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. Hey, so, yeah, my experience, that really drives home the true presence of Jesus Christ in the consecrated Eucharist are these, and it's amazing to I get choked up even just talking about it. You know, speaks to us in our terms, in our day, and, you know, a lot of these Eucharistic miracles in modern times and, you know, other ones that, you know, from times before, like Lanciano or the Eucharistic miracles in Buenos Aires or the ones in Poland, they've been scientifically tested. It's overwhelmed. They show blood type AB. They show, you know, white blood cells that could only be extracted, you know, from a living heart. They show that the body and blood that the Eucharist transforms into comes from, you know, the left ventricle of a man's heart, a man that was, you know, tortured. And just looking into any of these Eucharistic miracles, it's impossible not to believe. It's impossible not to believe in the apostolic succession. It's impossible not to believe that Pentecost really did happen, and that the Holy Spirit came down, and, I get so overwhelmed. And, you know, my experience with benediction is in knowing that, right? Because, like I said, like, God speaks to us in our terms, you know, in knowing these proofs, like, in our modern world, and how, like, there's no other explanation for these things.
Sure.
When I go to benediction and adoration, I'm overwhelmed with the understanding that that truly is the body and blood of Christ, and he's gazing at me, and I'm gazing back at him.
Right.
My experience is so powerful.
Right. But Heather, that's because, and thank you for being a first-time caller, that's because you have that appreciation, that understanding, and the belief and the trust that that truly is Jesus. And I'm right with you, Heather. I cannot believe how we have these surveys and stuff of Catholics who there's, you know, so many that don't believe or doubt, and even priests that doubt. I'm shocked after having the book from Joan Carol Cruz, the late Joan Carol Cruz, Eucharistic Miracles, where she put it all in that extraordinary book that I personally had every single family read in religious education. I did that on purpose because it's such an incredible book. Then you've got Blessed Carlo Acutis, who puts together the worldwide exhibit on Eucharistic miracles. We know that is the proof, right? God had to actually give us this proof that he really is present in the Eucharist, and yet so many still do not believe. So what does that tell us? It tells us that, you know, people are unwilling to enter into that really deep mystical sense that you know, has, as you were speaking, brought you to that emotion, those tears. You have something very precious, Heather. It is, and hold on to that and spread what you just did. Like, you know, you just shared your experience with the whole world. Keep sharing your experience, because it's, in my opinion, it's very unfortunate for Catholic Christians to really have that doubt in their minds and in their hearts. They're missing out on the true essence of what our faith is and who God is, and how unfortunate, how sad It's walking away from God again. And so anyway, I could go on and on. I'm very passionate about it. My uncle, my late uncle, he was a priest at, he is still a priest forever, but he was a priest here on earth. And he was big on the Eucharist. My whole family is. And I'm right with you, Heather. What do you think?
I think that's great. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just there's so much resource out there. For me, I started learning about the Eucharistic miracles through EWTN and through the Hallow app and listening to both. And like I said, like just learning that, like, it's been scientific studies, like, done, like, that, you know, the scientists that studied these pieces of blood and flesh had no idea what they were studying. They thought that it was, you know, they thought it was like something from an autopsy or something, and they couldn't explain how, you know, there's white blood cells, because that wouldn't have, it would have been had to have been extracted from a living heart. He's here with us. Like, it's not just a dead piece of flesh. He's living. And then when we get the Eucharist, we're taking him into us. We're taking his living body into us.
Right. But Heather, I have to say this now, because now my religious education hat just went on. Shame on all of us as Catholic Christians that we needed God to come to us multiple times and present himself like that. And yet he did, because that's how much he loves us, with the Eucharistic miracles. And yet there's still many people that don't believe. Go figure that one out. It makes no sense to me. And when you have the proof right in front of you, God had to do that, because I guess so many of us are unwilling or hard-headed or whatever. I don't know. But, or we're willing, you know, somehow to reject it. And he came and gave us these miracles, these, like you said, Heather, these living miracles, and people still don't believe. So to me, it's mind-boggling. It drives me crazy. And now you just kind of hit a nerve there, Heather. But thank you. What do you think, Jer?
Thank you, Heather, for the call. Thanks for being a first-time caller. We appreciate it. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's unfortunate the thing is, you know, God has shown Eucharistic miracles sometimes even to priests while they're celebrating Mass.
That's right.
Because their faith wobbles a little bit. And, you know, we're always going to be under attack from the enemy in terms of what we believe, especially when it comes to something like the Eucharist. So, folks, ask God to keep your faith strong. The apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. Mm-hmm. We need an increase of faith in ourselves, and especially in those Catholics who doubt, and even non-Catholics who haven't been exposed to the teaching on the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Please, please look up Eucharistic miracles online. You'll see how amazing it is.
But Jerry, you just said something that just triggered something in my brain about this. One of the ways to keep your faith strong in the Eucharist is to make connection with the Eucharist, to receive the Eucharist on a regular basis, to go to adoration on a regular basis. Go to adoration online, the real-time adoration. Watch EWTN on television. Stay connected to the Eucharist, and you will see that enlightenment, that understanding, that depth that Heather was sharing, and all the other callers, it comes, folks. It comes deep within you. But if you just go once in a while and check the box and go to Mass, you know, it's kind of like you're a shallow swimmer. I get really frustrated when it comes to the Eucharist, Jerry, because I just feel that, you know, if we can all truly believe, we would have the most amazing church out in the world, because we would be really standing for what we believe.
Well, it would not only change the church, it would change the world too, as you're alluding to there. So, all right, Renee in Buffalo, you've been holding, you get our Patience Award. It's a virtual award, Renee, but we present it to you today in Buffalo, listening on the Station of the Cross. Thanks for waiting.
You're welcome. I'm calling for a prayer request from the Take Two family for my mom, Karen. She fell on ice a few days ago, hit her head and her shoulder and the side of her back, and she's been in terrible pain. Mm-hmm. And she got x-rays, she's in the hospital, but now I guess she needs MRIs because there's more damage. And so if you can pray for her, she's really bad. Mm.
And her name is Karen, you said.
Karen. I just put her in the book, Renee. I just put her in the book. Please make sure, I'm sure you are, but please make sure they stay very close to her, because as you know, when somebody falls and hits their head, there can be, you know, things happening later on. And so I just think we need to go to immediate prayers. So Jerry, maybe you could lead us in a prayer.
Yeah, Renee, if you don't mind, let's just pray for Karen and pray for all people who have been injured, especially, you know, this time of year. There is a lot of snow and ice and accidents and people getting injured and even killed sometimes. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just lift up Karen to you right now, and we just pray that you would put your healing hand upon her, and we pray, since you're outside of time and space, Heavenly Father, that you would reach down with your gentle healing hands and brace the fall so it's not worse than it otherwise would have been. And we are grateful for you doing that. Pray for her guardian angel to watch over her. And again, anybody, if you're listening right now and you've been injured or hurt, or you know somebody who is, this prayer is for you and for all of those people. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Karen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Feel free to keep us posted, too. Like you referenced the Take Two family, Karen, Renee, which is beautiful. It is the Take Two family around the world, and we love to hear when God answers our prayers. So we'll be looking forward to hearing from you.
And you just slipped twice during the prayer and just now, and you said Renee. So, Renee, we're praying for you as well. We can hear the heaviness in your heart, okay?
Okay, yes. Thank you. And I will let you know what happened.
Please.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah, do that.
Okay. That is scary. Okay, we're talking about the Eucharist today. Okay, my blood pressure went down. You know, prayer brings your blood pressure down. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm totally calm again. So,
go ahead. Sorry about that. We're talking about the true presence, real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Where do we get that real presence? Well, it comes to us through the consecration done by the priest at Holy Mass. If you're privileged to get to daily Mass where you live, definitely take advantage of that opportunity. But if not, you can watch Holy Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel in Hanceville, Alabama, every morning at 8 Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. I'm sorry, that's in Irondale, Alabama. Holy Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel, weekday mornings, 8 Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. And if you have access to EWTN Radio Essentials, it's on there every 2 hours. So a great spiritual resource provided by EWTN.
Absolutely. I love the EWTN Masses. Okay, so Dave on YouTube says, as much as I try to follow the Eucharistic prayers during the consecration, my mind will wander off to something, and the next thing I know, it's time to rise and say the Our Father. Dave, it happens, you know, to all of us because life is moving. You know, it's still moving. But I always share with, especially in adult faith formation, just every time your mind wanders, bring your mind back to the altar and be thinking heaven and earth are touching right now, and all of the angels are around that altar, crowding that altar. I tell you, it's very hard to let your mind wander when you think of just tons of angels in the church. So there's techniques we can all use to stay very focused and very present during the consecration.
Hey, Dave, thanks for your comment on social media. Frank is next on the phones in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock today. Hi, Frank. Hello, Frank. Are you with us? Okay, we will check back in with Frank. In the meantime, let's go to, I think next after Frank would be Kathy in Minneapolis, Minnesota, listening on iHeartRadio. Hi, Kathy.
Hey there. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Good. I retired from I've been a Catholic school teacher for a number of years and retired at the end of last year. And I just wanted to, you know, recount, you know, just an interaction I had, you know, like at lunch with my fellow teachers. And, you know, they're, a lot of them are younger than me, but they were saying something about, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy the, you know, the Eucharist thing. Like, real presence of Jesus, you know, and I just, you know, I thought, I've got to say something. And I was like, you guys, I said, that's what keeps me Catholic. I said, that's the real deal. I mean, it's like, it is, you know, this is what Catholics believe. This is what sets us apart. Otherwise, we're just like everybody else. I said, the Eucharist is this, you know, the source and summit of our faith. I said, so they just kind of looked at me and said, wow, I wish I believed that. Or, you know, I said, well, maybe someday you will. I said, but I said, I'm just telling you, that's where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's what keeps me Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah, Kathy, I can relate. I've been there as well. And then what I would do next time you meet them is hand them the book by Joan Carol Cruz, Eucharistic Miracles, and then also tell them to look up Blessed Carlo Acutis, the teenager who died of leukemia, who said the Eucharist is my highway to heaven. Okay, this is a teenager. So these real Eucharistic miracles, these real saints that walk this earth, that know full well that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior. Wow, we just have to keep reminding folks, I guess. I guess the world is telling everybody, reject it, it can't be real, I don't buy it, like you said, Kathy. We're just going to have to be louder. And maybe that's what the Eucharistic revival that our bishops are doing. Maybe that's exactly why we have to put all our effort behind it, because we just have to be louder than what the world is saying. I love it, Kathy. What do you think, Jer?
No, I agree, Kathy. That's a great gift that you have, and you nurture that gift by receiving the Eucharist often. There's quite simply been a crisis in catechesis over at least a couple of generations. And Kathy, I know you've thought of this, but maybe get your thoughts on this. You're hearing from these other teachers, or you did when you were teaching, especially the younger ones, that they don't believe, they wish they could believe, whatever. I think you planted seeds that are going to come to fruition at someday. Do you ever think about that? And I'm sure you probably pray for these teachers as well.
I think like what you said, I think planting a seed is like, you know, when you have those Holy Spirit moments that, you know, you say something that, you know, comes from the heart, what you know, it's like, I just think, you know, they just kind of, you could just tell the pondering in their eyes. It's like, they were just like, oh, I don't know. I just pray that, you know, I've planted a seed, because I know they're really are good people. And it's like, but I don't think they've been, you know, catechized correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, ever since I've been a kid, it's like, you know, when they raise the host, it's like, my Lord and my God. And then when he raises the wine, it's like, my Jesus, mercy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know. I'm just grateful that I've never gone away from that gift, the gift of my faith. I mean, it's always stayed with me. But, you know, you have to nurture it. And I'm grateful that I can go to daily Mass as often as I can during the week. I work part-time now. But it's like, I go to daily Mass when I can. It's just an awesome way to start your day.
Right.
So,
but Kathy, I just want to say, you know, kudos to you for having the strength and the courage to stand up for our Lord. I think that's beautiful. You know, you stood up for what you believe, our faith, our Lord, and I think that's wonderful. And just one thing I just wanted to say, you know, there's a lot of good people in this world, a lot. You know, there's a lot of great atheists and agnostics in the world that are doing some great things in the world. But it doesn't necessarily mean they have the spiritual depth, you know, that they may actually need someday and want someday when they meet our Lord face to face after their time is up. So there's a lot more to the whole journey. And I just love that you stood up at just the right time. You had the courage and strength. Blessings to you, Kathy. You're awesome.
Thank you. Oh, thanks a lot. God bless you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. God bless you, too. One of our regular listeners, Zach, member of the Take-Two family, just reminded us. He said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And that is, I think, John 6:53.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need to keep in mind that as far as I know, I could be wrong, but I've heard this before, the only place in Jesus' ministry that's recorded in the Bible anyway, where some of his disciples stopped following him and left him, is over the teaching on the Eucharist in John chapter 6. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough concept. It is tough. It is tough to understand. But you know, as Catholics, if we say we're going to be Catholic, shouldn't we be 100% Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Manuel has been waiting patiently. First-time caller. This is the day of first-time callers. I love that. Carlsbad, New Mexico, in Sirius XM 130. I didn't know there was a car. I know there was a Carlsbad, California. I didn't know there was a Carlsbad, New Mexico. Hi, Manuel.
Hey, how are you? Yeah, it's down in the southeast corner of the state, and it's a hot spot for oil and gas and everything else. So, cool. But anyways, it's right on the Texas border. But hey, listen, nice. The reason I was calling is because, you know, I got a daughter that was living with one of her. They met 4 or 5 years ago, and she'd been living with them for like 2 years. We were trying to get her to, you know, she goes to mass, you know, she does everything she does, but she don't go to communion, and she hasn't been to confession, and so we were asking her to get her own place, and hey, so you guys can figure out what you're gonna do, and so we've been kind of praying about it, and well, last week they broke up, and you know, we don't know the exact reason. We don't know, you know, she's been trying to get him to go to church and do all this stuff, and he, you know, I don't know what the scenario was, really. I don't, you know, close the doors and all this, but nevertheless, you know, thank God that anyway, they broke up and she moved out, and you know, I've asked her a few times, you've been to confession, you know, because you know, you can set up an appointment with our local priest and go to confession and go get back to communion, and we were talking about communion, and wholeheartedly I believe that, you know, the Eucharist is the healing power. It's the body of Jesus. It's the ultimate healing. And, you know, and I think about this when I go to church, and, you know, it's odd that I sit in church and some days I'm just so tired and I don't, you know, there's things that I don't want to do. And I'm just like, am I really into the mass or I'm hurting or something? And I'm not even joking. When I receive communion, it just seems like I'm alive. I'm awake. I'm you know, it's odd. It's not odd, but it's a miracle to me that, you know, just the healing power of the communion of the body of Christ. And you know, anyway, so I just asked you guys to pray for my daughter. Her name is Natalie, and get her back, because she's such a good Catholic, man. She's a good person, and she's done well in life. And you know, this whole little thing straying, but you know, living with this guy, and you know, they were childhoods. You know, I don't know what happened, but you know, they're not together. And you know, he's a good guy, and I really like him. But at the same time, I'm glad that she's not living with him anymore. They're not living together, and she has a chance to go to confession and go back to communion and feel that healing power of the Eucharist. You know, so
definitely.
That's it. So.
Well, Manuel, we will be praying for Natalie. We'll pray for you as well. Obviously, the signs that you're seeing are indications she had a good upbringing in the faith. And once those seeds are planted, they're always there. You know, the grace of baptism doesn't go away. We can sort of, you know, shut ourselves off to it, you know, partially or completely. But it sounds like she has not shut herself off to it completely. So, and Debbie, I know you were thinking maybe the spiritual communion prayer is something Natalie could do anytime, and definitely. Until
yeah,
she gets back to the Eucharist. Yeah.
In the meantime, Manuel, maybe you could share with her the spiritual communion prayer that is so powerful still, and also the Stay With Me prayer by Padre Pio. That will actually, you know, kind of give her the beginning, you know, feeling, if you will, of that healing, the strength to get through anything, because she will feel the Lord very close to her, and that's important. And you can always Google those on EWTN. Just put in EWTN Stay With Me Padre Pio prayer or the spiritual communion prayer. They're all there. But that would be, I think, until she's ready to make those next steps to come back into full communion with the church. What do you think?
Sounds amazing. And yeah, I'll mention it to her, and I'll snap her with it, you know, and put it on her snap. Yeah, you know, I like you said, she's an awesome person, and she's a good person, and she's always been. And even you know, living with the guy, she's still a good person. And she'd be at mass, and mm-hmm. But you know, it you know, we don't live in where she lives, but when we go back home, you know, we go to mass, and I see her where she's not able to go to communion, and I always tell her, hey, well, get up and at least get a blessing, you know, come on up and get a blessing. And she's reluctant, but you know, I think that you know, not, and I always say it, nothing happens in God's world by mistake, you know, and we just got to remember that, man. Sure. Through faith and prayer and the Eucharist, man, mm-hmm. everything is possible, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Manuel, we're going to see some movement with Natalie. We put her in the prayer book. I'm going to Mass right after the show. I'm going to take Natalie, your intention for Natalie. We're going to see some movement. So you're for the good. So you're going to have to email us, take2@EWTN.com. Okay?
keep you updated. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, please do. Thanks, Manuel. John in Scranton, sounds like you had a beautiful story. We'd love to hear it via email at take2@ewtn.com or on next month's First Friday Eucharist show or on an unscripted show. And Frank in Cleveland, we're not going to get to you either. I apologize for that. But Debbie, a great week of shows. Can't believe the week has gone by already.
Fabulous. I wish we could hear the stories of Frank and John. So please, if you guys can email us. Oh, I love having First Friday be like this, where we all are focused on the Most Holy Eucharist. On Monday, we're asking the question, are you ever discouraged by your sins? I know I am. Definitely. There's my answer ahead of time.
Yeah, well, there is a remedy for that. And we'll talk about that on Monday. Thanks to the show team. Thank you, affiliates. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, please pray for us.